Well, what did this vessel look like by the end of the 6th century BC when it had become adopted by not only the Greek city-states, but by the Phoenician cities, by Carthage, the Phoenician colony in the far west, and essentially by anyone who intended to launch ships anywhere in the Mediterranean world? By 525 BC, if you're going to build warships, you're going to build a trireme. Well, we have an enormous amount of visual representations. They come from Greek vases. There's several important reliefs that show the rowing systems, the three banks of oars. And a trireme has been reconstructed by the Greek government. In 1985-1987, it was known as the Olympias. Once they were able to figure out how to place people on those three banks of oars and move those ships around, the results were stunning. Tests over the next several years indicate that these ships easily could attain 9 to 10 knots when they were being rowed, half to two-thirds of that when they were if they were just using the sail. The ships were remarkably unseaworthy. They're about 120 feet long, 18 feet across at the widest point. The draft was very low, maybe about 10 feet. The ships clearly were beached at night or when you were going to prepare a meal. This was told to us in the sources. The reconstructed vessel, the Olympias, you really can't prepare food at sea. And so all of these vessels tended to sail along the shores or among the islands. And whenever possible, you would stop to take on water and food. There was really very little capacity for storing food for long voyages. Perhaps the most frightening voyage in the Mediterranean world would be the jump from northwestern Greece over to the toe of Italy. You might be out of sight of land for about a day or two. And that was a pretty frightening prospect in a trireme. Military fleets sailing between Greece and Sicily, and the Athenians launched several of them in the course of the Peloponnesian War. The most famous is in 415 BC. That was a very, very frightening prospect to make that crossing with triremes. Nonetheless, in battle, these ships were stunning. When propelled by 170 rowers, there were about 20 Marines originally, that is hoplites and four archers. They later reduced the number of Marines to 10. They were there to keep boarders off. And the rest of the people were specialized staff, such as the helmsman, the guy who played the flute to keep time with the rowing, the aulites, and various other petty officers. There's about 200 men on this vessel. These ships could be moved at enormous speed, whether enclosed or open waters, in combat. And in combat, you took down the sails, you stored the sails, you took the sail away, and you relied primarily on the rowing. And the men had to row in unison, in very careful drills, because at the front of that ship, on the prow, was a huge ramming device sheathed in bronze under the waterline. And the idea was to smash into your opposing ship and sink it. Well, not really sink it. What happened is most of these ships essentially got partially submerged as wrecks. And in any naval battle, there's large amounts of debris, of wreckage, in which the survivors were clinging onto those wrecks. But the idea was to destroy that enemy vessel so it couldn't be used. That required timing and speed and discipline of the highest order. The Olympias and tests indicate that it could turn at a 180-degree angle in about a minute when these guys are rowing at full speed. That these ships can come barreling in, especially if you get them broadside, at remarkable speed, smash into the enemy ship, and then pull out. The Athenians become extremely adept in these tactics. Repeatedly in the Peloponnesian Wars, Thucydides records these battles. The Athenians time and time again could take on larger contingents of Peloponnesian ships and still be assured of victory, especially if they got them in open waters. The favorite technique the Athenians liked to use was something known as the periplus, the sailing around. And that was playing an elaborate maneuvering game and see who can turn on a dime faster. And the Athenians could always get that 180-degree angle at the fastest possible speed and come up on the opponent broadside and hit them. There were other techniques known as the diekplus, and that was often favored by Peloponnesians who were not as adept. That was useful in closed waters, and that means the sailing throughout. That's essentially going sometimes prow to prow, smashing right up against the enemy vessel. And those types of triremes were built heavier with a stronger prow. That's the tactics used in the great naval battles of Syracuse in 413 BC that ended Athenian naval power in Sicily.